From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Credit cards, student loans, housing, and car payments. Facing a mountain of debt is scary, and something that the local nonprofit GuideWell Financial Solutions believes you don't have to face alone. We meet Devin Hyde of GuideWell and Dr. Christine Callahan, a research assistant professor at the University of Maryland School of Social Work. They're the social workers behind a new counseling program that aims to address the links between financial and emotional health. We also meet a woman who climbed out from under $50,000 in debt. How did she get there?
I would go out to go shopping to feel good, but when I came home and thought about what I had done, I started to feel guilty and bad. And in order to feel better, I would go back out and go shop again.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at WYPR.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@WYPR.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. In 2012, Martha Souder was nearly $50,000 in debt. She had tackled $10,000 of debt on her own over the course of a decade, but she still faced a mountain of unpaid bills. Then she turned to the nonprofit GuideWell Financial Solutions, located in Baltimore. GuideWell offers debt management and credit counseling, as well as services for new homeowners, college students, and veterans. Later in the program, we'll hear about a new program GuideWell is offering in partnership with the University of Maryland School of Social Work to address the links between personal finance and emotional health. Right now, Martha Souder joins us on the line from Silver Spring. Welcome to the show, Martha.
Hi, Sheila. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. The debt that you were in didn't pile up overnight. It had accumulated over years. What prompted you to seek help from GuideWell?
Basically, I was getting at the point where I was not even being able to make my minimum payments on my credit card bills, and in some cases I was doing the proverbial robbing Peter to pay Paul, and when you suddenly realize you have more money that you owe than you have coming in, it becomes very frightening. So that's when I knew I needed to turn for help.
How did you get so deeply in debt?
Well, you know, it's funny. It was really just from the little things. I love to shop. That's the bottom line. Shopping made me feel good. And so I would go out and get whatever I wanted, basically, or go out to dinner or, you know, go to the mall. And truly, it just kind of caught me off guard. I really didn't pay much attention to it. I always said, oh, I'll be able to pay that off later. And at one point, it suddenly tipped that balance.
You said it just sort of sneaked up on you. Didn't your credit card statement
of course
outline it for you?
So what happened with me particularly is I really didn't pay much attention to that. Those statements came monthly. I knew that they were coming. I really didn't even bother to open them necessarily or even review what was on them. What I really was always looking for was what's the minimum I have to pay to, you know, not get in trouble.
And did you have a lot of credit cards?
I had quite a few. I would say when I entered the program, I had 25 to 30 credit cards.
Oh, my. What kind of emotional toll did those thousands of dollars of debt take on you once you started paying attention to them?
The emotional toll is heavy. It factored into every part of my life. It affected how I felt at work or if I wanted to go out and have fun. It was very negative and scary. So like I said, what I realized, actually very recently, I realized what I was doing is I would go out to go shopping to feel good, but when I came home and thought about what I had done, I started to feel guilty and bad, and in order to feel better, I would go back out and go shop again. So it was a non-ending cycle.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm speaking with Martha Souder about how she got her debt under control. Martha Souder works for a nursing nonprofit. When you turned to GuideWell, how hard did you think it was going to be to pay off your debt? I mean, did you think it would even be possible?
Exactly. I went in there actually thinking even they would not be able to help me, that I was so far gone. What I really did not want to do was turn to bankruptcy because I knew that I had made this problem, and I wanted to fix it without, so to speak, you know, getting away with not having to pay at all. So I really wanted to pay it back. And I didn't think they were going to be able to help me. But the really amazing thing was when I went for my first counseling session, they were able to help me.
And describe to us how that was. How did you pay off the debt? What was the plan?
So the process is really quite simple. They have a nice little computer that kind of just spits out this information, and I had to pay a monthly amount. They determined an actual amount for me to pay them, but I had to pay GuideWell. So they then turned around and paid all my creditors, and that was probably the hardest thing to reconcile at the beginning, because you're letting go, and you have to allow them to help you.
Well, when you say letting go, were you also letting go of the credit cards? Did you switch to cash only?
Exactly. Actually, part of the plan is you have to cut up all your credit cards. You're not allowed to charge, so you do learn to live on cash.
Did you have, like, a ceremony to cut up these dozens of credit cards?
Well, you know, it was funny. To be perfectly honest, they do, I think they actually do have something like that, but I actually was hesitant to cut them up, but not so much because I wanted to use them, more because sometimes, you know, you still need to reference back to them sometimes for other reasons, but they have these large water jugs that they take the credit cards and cut them up and put them in there, and it's a beautiful mosaic because you can see them, and it's really impactful seeing all those credit cards that all the clients have cut up. So it is a bit of a ceremony. I would say my ceremony actually came at the end of the program, though.
What were you keeping an eye on your credit score as you went through this process?
Okay, so that's a great question because this is the funny thing. When I was so deeply in debt, I actually convinced myself that my FICO credit score was not important, that that was a bunch of, you know, hooey or whatever you want to say. So I did check it before I went into the program, and it was at 545. And as I was paying off the debt, I didn't check it frequently because I wasn't needing to know what it was necessarily. But about a year before I paid off my debt, I started checking, and I started to watch that number really rise. And actually, by the time I came out of the program, I was at 733.
Good for you. And after the debt management program, then what?
Then I joined their financial coaching. However, there is a fee for that. That is not a free program.
And what does financial coaching consist of?
It's kind of the emotional side of why you spend and learning more about what goes on in your mind and your brain about those things. For instance, I learned that money no longer controls me. I control my money, and that's really empowering to me because I always felt like money was a bad thing when I was deeply in debt, and now I see it completely differently. And the biggest thing that I got out of it is not to feel guilty when I spend money. Because even when I first came out of the program, if I felt like I bought something that I really didn't need, I felt extremely guilty about it. And so it's helped me recognize that I don't need to feel guilty, that what I'm doing is fine, and you know, where to stay alert so that I don't fall back into the old trap.
I mean, you repaid almost $50,000 in 3.5 years. How did you stay focused?
Well, you know, the program itself, it lends itself to that. You have to want to do it. And I understand that, you know, for me, it was non-negotiable. I was going to get through this program. You know, you're free to quit the program if you want to, but I would highly not recommend that because when I had all that debt, I was miserable and lost. Well, I still had the debt, so I was still miserable, but I had the light at the end of the tunnel, and that's what kept me going.
Do you have some new financial goals now that you've paid this off?
Absolutely. My first major goal is I know I will be buying my house in 2 years from now. So basically, I am saving towards that goal. I have to have a down payment.
You talked about it being hard to turn for help. I mean, many people are ashamed of having a big debt balance and may be reluctant to get help. What would you say to someone who's in a similar situation to what you were in?
There is a lot of shame and guilt, and people don't like talking about their money, and they especially don't like talking about their money when they're deeply in debt. But I would say to those people, believe me, I had all the same feelings, and all you need to do is ask for help. And for me, I knew I wanted to do it with a reputable nonprofit organization such as GuideWell, because there are a lot of predatory lending companies out there that are just waiting for you. And so my number one suggestion is ask for help, and number two is go to a reputable organization such as GuideWell.
What do you think that someone in the situation you were in with a lot of debt that they can't see a way of paying off on their own, what do you think they don't realize about counseling services?
I think that they don't realize that it can work. I want to say it's still a painful process, because we don't want to let go of the control of being able to go out and shop. But, you know, you get to a point, at least for me, I was so maxed out, there was no more shopping anyway. I mean, there just was nothing left. So I think that people who think are at that point where they need the help, it's absolutely possible, and you will get there. You just have to stay strong. And at GuideWell, some people can take even 5 years to pay off their debt, and that's okay. I think they just figure out how much, you know, what you can put into it is how quickly you can get out of it. Initially, it seemed like a very long time, but believe me, when that 3.5 years was up, I could not believe how quickly that time had gone by.
I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. Thank you.
Oh, you're so very welcome, and I really hope that if people out there are in need of this kind of help, that they do seek it. It's really important to get financially, to have financial well-being.
Martha Souter paid off nearly $50,000 of debt with the help of the nonprofit GuideWell Financial Solutions, located in Baltimore. Good luck, Martha.
Thank you so much.
This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. A quick break, and when we come back, how can financial struggles affect mental health? How can families approach a loved one burdened by debt? Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. A divorce, a serious illness, a sudden job loss. Any such situation can throw a person into financial turmoil. That's where the nonprofit GuideWell Financial Solutions picks up. GuideWell is located in Catonsville. It offers debt management and credit counseling, as well as advising for first-time homeowners and those navigating the student loan process. But what about the impact of financial stress on emotional health? In partnership with the University of Maryland School of Social Work, GuideWell is adding social services to its menu, including individual and family counseling. We just heard from Martha Souter, who works for a nursing nonprofit. In 2012, she was nearly $50,000 in debt. Martha Souter turned to the nonprofit GuideWell Financial Solutions for help, and 3.5 years later, she had tackled that mountain of debt, cut up 25 credit cards, and raised her credit score by more than 100 points. I'm joined here in the studio by Devin Hyde, a social worker and GuideWell Financial's Director of Business Development. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you, Sheila.
And Dr. Christine Callahan, also a social worker and a research assistant professor at the University of Maryland School of Social Work. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Devin, why did GuideWell decide to add social work services to its offerings?
We realized that clients coming into us face tremendous stress when they're going through something like serious debt or bankruptcy or perhaps foreclosure. And we realized that these incidences can affect their personal life, as well as the reverse is also true, and that their personal lives can affect their finances.
That connection has always been there.
Correct.
At some point, you decided you need to do more than you'd been doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was through a partnership with the University of Maryland, Baltimore, that we recognized we had them as a resource and were able to offer this service in-house. And really, it's designed to be a wraparound support service for our active clients, so those that we're helping through our financial and housing counseling.
Kristen Callahan, let's pick up on what Devin said about the School of Social Work as a resource. Is financial counseling something that the School of Social Work was already looking at before you connected with Guidewell?
We at the School of Social Work, we have a financial social work initiative, which will soon be celebrating its 10-year anniversary. And we've been really focused on financial social work and just the importance of recognizing financial strain within overall emotional health, and to really focus in a number of different areas, both on research, on financial burden, preparing social workers new to the field on the importance of recognizing and addressing financial strain within all types of psychosocial stressors and situations. It can be mental health, it can be medical debt, dealing with a life-threatening or life-limiting illness, or as Martha talked about, just the compulsion, the draw of shopping and how that sort of thing can make us feel about ourselves. I mean, we find that finances and financial well-being really weave into a number of different areas within our psyches, within our psychological well-being overall. And it's really important to certainly address financial needs, financial burden, financial goals, and that sort of thing, but also recognizing the impact and the really significant, tremendous impact that it can have on our emotional well-being.
So, Devin, help me understand how that's different from what clients at Guidewell might have gotten, you know, a couple of years ago.
Sure. Well, previously, it might have been an external referral we would make for a client, but now we're able to offer that in-house. How our financial counseling works is it's a full financial review where we look at the client's we look at their income, debt, assets, and liabilities, and we work through a monthly spending plan with them, as well as make recommendations for things that may improve their financial situation. And where previously, where we may have identified this stress, we might have made a referral.
So at what point in the process does that focus on the emotional impact tend to occur?
Usually a counselor can kind of hear it in their voice or in the language that they're using, or a client may identify that this is very overwhelming for me right now, or this is causing me to fight with my spouse, and in which case a counselor might say, we have a service here in-house that you may benefit from.
Give me an example. Obviously, Martha was nice enough to share her story, but give me another example of what you might hear, the clues you might pick up. Kristen Callahan?
Sure. If a person is dealing with a loss that has really had a great financial impact, a person might be talking about just tremendous strain, need to talk with someone, intense feelings of grief, but then also worry about their financial well-being, especially if that person that they've lost was the breadwinner or the person who was taking care of finances within the family. The worry, the anxiety that people might feel and express to a person that they're working with at Guidewell, that would then signal the need for really more intensive counseling on the emotional piece.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with two social workers, Devin Hyde of the nonprofit Guidewell Financial Solutions and Dr. Kristen Callahan, a research assistant professor at the University of Maryland School of Social Work. Guidewell recently began offering a new kind of family and individual counseling services. So help me understand better. You just mentioned intensive counseling. Is that essentially what we're talking about, or is there a range of other services that come with the social work interest in this?
I mean, it's really tailored to what the individual needs. It can be weekly, regular, ongoing counseling for as long as the person needs. It could be referral to other services that all together will work in tandem. We also offer psychosocial assessment to really do a full comprehensive interview and assessment of everything that the person has going on in their lives.
You make it very clear that financial problems and emotional issues are deeply intertwined, and I was going to ask how you untangle them, but I'm almost thinking you really don't untangle, you deal with both of them. I mean, is it important to figure out which came first, which started the cycle, or is it just important to address them all?
Certainly to address them all, and you can tease things out as well. Sometimes, you know, you're finding that whole proverbial thing about what's causing which, and, you know, on some level, that is not as important because it all is impacting each other. Teasing out to some degree is good, but it's not necessarily the whole picture.
You picked up earlier on what Martha Sauter talked to us about, shopping to feel good and then feeling guilty afterwards and then trying to ease that bad feeling with more shopping. How do you get people to break that cycle?
I think really going in depth, you know, working with people, helping them to understand their own background with respect to money, how they were raised, how their families or other important people within their lives viewed money, viewed spending habits, you know, how money makes you feel, and what can we do to make things better.
Devin Hunt, how many GuideWell clients are currently enrolled in this program?
We have probably actively around 10 clients that we're working with on a week-to-week basis, and we work with them for however long they need them.
Ah, is that true of your other offerings also? I mean, somehow I had the impression there was more of an expectation of it's a few months for this kind of counseling or that kind of counseling. Maybe
sure.
I'm wrong.
Our financial counseling, that's our budget and credit counseling, that is a shorter intervention. Usually that's a single session followed with two follow-ups. However, we do have a service called financial coaching, which Martha referenced, mm-hmm. and that's a longer-term service where a client is matched one-on-one with a coach. They meet once a month for up to 12 months. And coaching really is around building skills and new habits over time that help you reach your goals.
We are in the midst of a season of spending. I mean, there's gifts, there's going out to eat, there's buying a winter wardrobe. What advice, Christine Callahan, would you recommend to help people stay within their means, not be distracted by all the pressures of this season?
I'm a huge believer in spending plans and budgets. I know that's not the sexiest topic, but I think going into a holiday season, you know, just knowing what your parameters are, being very thoughtful, very planful about what it is that you can afford, what is it that you want to do, and, you know, what are other alternative ways to, you know, to show people how much you love them and how much you care.
Because if lots of spending problems have emotional roots, I would think ones around the holidays are really laden with an emotional
absolutely.
Component.
Absolutely.
Dr. Callahan, Christine, there is stigma surrounding all these issues, debt, mental illness, substance abuse, bankruptcy, almost everything you've talked about. What would you say to people who are reluctant to seek help?
I think Martha said it really well, just asking for help. I think, you know, realizing it's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. It's not the end of the world. To be, you know, forgiving of ourselves. And this goes for the counseling piece as well, that often, you know, it's just a relief to be able to talk with someone about things that you might be holding so tightly within and either scared or ashamed to bring them out. But it makes it worse when you're just hiding it within and just not sharing it. It really can take on a life of its own in terms of the worry and anxiety and stress that can just continue to compound. You know, there could be things about yourself that you don't realize that you bring a lot of strengths and good qualities to a situation, and tapping into those things, even in the midst of everything that's going on, can be just really, really healing. And knowing, you know, you're not alone and you don't need to be ashamed or afraid about what's happening.
That's a hopeful note on which to end. I'm grateful to you both for talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Devin Hyde is a social worker and GuideWell Financial's Director of Business Development. Dr. Christine Callahan is a social worker and a research assistant professor at the University of Maryland School of Social Work. She works for the school's Financial Social Work Initiative. We've got more information about the services that GuideWell offers and the Financial Social Work Initiative at the University of Maryland School of Social Work at the On the Record page at wypr.org. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Sheila Cast. Come back tomorrow.